It's time to rewrite the historical revisions so they once again resemble the truth with Kirby Anderson, now on Probe.
Is our history really what we've been taught in school for at least 5 decades in schools across the nation? Most of us have digested a similar litany of facts about the development of the Western world. 4 of these commonly accepted facts are that the Roman Empire introduced and maintained relative peace, creating an environment in which innovation and free thought could flourish, that the Dark Ages after the fall of Rome were a period of over 500 years during which the European world languished in feudalism and ignorance, that the Protestant Reformation fueled by the invention of the printing press introduced a new era of religious freedom, which was embraced by the common man, and that the scientific revolution was the result of Europe casting aside religious superstitions during the so-called Enlightenment. This week, Steve Cable provides a survey of the research found in the recent book, How the West Won, The Neglected Story of the Triumph of Modernity. It was written by Rodney Stark, a sociologist at Baylor University who questions these historical facts from our childhood along with many others. His premise is that conventional wisdom about the history of the Western world was tainted by the prejudices and lack of knowledge of the early historical writers. His view is backed up by research and writings from many contemporary scholars. Stark points out that what is taught in our schools lags far behind the common knowledge held by top researchers in the field. Interestingly, this phenomenon is similar to the difference between high school textbooks on evolution and the current state of research into the origins of life. Contrary to the conventional wisdom of high school textbooks, the worldview resulting from the God revealed in the Christian scripture was critical to the advent of our modern age. Only a society steeped in the message of an all-powerful, loving creator of the universe was postured to take on the scientific and societal endeavors crucial to our society today. According to Stark, our modern world is not the result of key people freeing themselves from the chains of religious intolerance to pursue knowledge and truth, but rather the result of people seeking to better understand this universe created out of nothing into an orderly something by our Lord and God. In the remainder of this week, we will look at these 4 commonly accepted facts of our history still taught to our students today to see how contemporary research has significantly modified or completely discredited them.
You're listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. If you want to better understand the historical misrepresentations of Western civilization, get your free copy of Steve Cable's transcript, Development of Modern Culture, by going online at probe.org/radio. And join us next time, here on Probe.
Addressing common misconceptions of Western history, today we look at the roles of Greece and Rome in developing Western society. Before 600 BC, governments throughout the world stifled innovation and production by using the populace as a resource rather than a partaker. If the elite sees all production above the minimum needed for survival, people have no motivation to produce more. The Greeks introduced a different model offering sufficient freedom so that individuals could benefit from innovations making them more productive. This freedom was partly due to Greece having an abundance of mountains, few natural resources, and no navigable river. Their geography promoted a large number of independent city-states, contributing to the greatness of Greece, for disunity and competition were fundamental to everything else. Unlike other contemporaries, the Jews were greatly impacted by the Greek system. Why? Well, the God of the Jews worshipped was conscious, concerned, and rational. The Jewish theologians were committed to reasoning about God. Most Jews lived outside of Palestine, being exposed to Greek thought, which filtered through their understanding of Scripture. The early Christians added the idea that our knowledge of God and His creation is progressive. Although not embracing Greek philosophy, they did embrace the reason and logic behind it. This train of thought set the stage for the development of science. As sociologist Rodney Stark notes, science arose only because of the doctrine of a rational creator of a rational universe made scientific inquiry plausible. Once the Romans took control, the scale of innovation in the areas of economic progress and technology slowed dramatically. Stark suggests that the Roman Empire was at best a pause in the rise of the West, and more plausibly, a setback. Preferring to take advantage of slave labor, very few technological innovations developed with little or no use of known technologies such as water power. However, two events during Rome's existence were important in developing our modern culture: the Christianization of the empire and the fall of Rome. The empire provided centuries of relative peace, and free travel played an important role in the growth of Christianity. But when Rome fell, the residents of the former empire did not suddenly forget everything they knew. To the contrary, with the stultifying effects of the Roman repression now ended, the glorious journey towards modernity resumed. Tomorrow, we'll see if the Dark Ages were really as dark as we have been taught. One part of our history which is greatly misunderstood is the Dark Ages. We've been taught that European culture took a backward step in the time of wars and a stultifying oppression of the church, which celebrated poverty and urged contentment. The reality is far different. As sociologist Rodney Stark states, the fall of Rome was the most beneficial event in the rise of Western civilization precisely because it unleashed creative competition among hundreds of independent political units, resulting in rapid and profound progress. As trade expanded, the average person ate better, putting to personal use wealth Rome had previously squeezed from them. The Dark Ages myth has been imposed on what was actually one of the great innovative eras of mankind. During this period, technology was developed and put to use on a scale no civilization had previously known. Capitalism can only exist in societies with free markets, secure property rights, and the rights of individuals to work where they wish. The Christian West was the only society where this combination existed. As Stark explains, only Judaism and Christianity have devoted serious and sustained attention to human rights as opposed to human duties. The other great faiths minimize individualism and stress collective obligations. Earlier historians put the advent of capitalism much later in history, but capitalism not only thrived during this period, but has also been fully debated by theologians who gave it general approval. Many have been taught that Islam kept technology moving forward during this period. Too many recent Western historians promulgate politically correct illusions about Islamic might, as well as spurious claims that once upon a time Islamic science and technology were far superior to that of a backward and intolerant Europe. However, the golden age of Islamic science and learning is a myth. Some Muslim-occupied societies gave the appearance of sophistication only because of the culture sustained by their subject peoples, Jews and various Christians. When they later cleansed their society of these other peoples, they fell into a state where any technology was bought from the West. What we have been taught were that the Dark Ages were of no progress, were actually a period of great progress in the development of individual freedom and the concept of capitalism. Tomorrow we'll look at misconceptions about the impact of the Protestant Reformation. As we examine misconceptions of our history today, let's consider the Protestant Reformation. The common thought was that it was facilitated by the printing press and resulted in a remarkable revival of piety and the spread of religious liberty. This new view placed the responsibility of a relationship with God on the individual rather than the church, was thought to create a new environment of religious tolerance, invigorating scientific and economic progress. The real situation was far different. Three misrepresentations promoted by early historians are: it introduced an era of religious freedom, it spread rapidly because of the newly invented printing press, and that this spread was partially a result of its attractiveness to the common man. Rather than religious freedom, the Reformation produced competing monopoly religions. If the Catholic hierarchy was not subservient to the local rulers, the rulers were likely to convert to a Protestant view, removing the Catholic influence. Importantly, it allowed them to loot church property in the name of religion. As sociologist Rodney Stark points out, Protestantism prevailed only where the local rulers had not already imposed their rule over the church. If the printing press was key, one would expect cities with printing presses producing Luther's writings would be more likely to align with Protestantism. Yet what we find is a negative correlation between towns with printers who had published Luther's Bible and towns which had converted to Protestantism. Indeed, assessments of the impact of the printed materials on the success of the Lutheran Reformation too often overlook a critical factor: no more than 5% of Germans could read. Finally, did the Reformation result in a huge revival of personal faith and piety? In reality, most people were not personally impacted by these theological arguments. The common man at that time was at best semi-Christian. Eventually, even Martin Luther admitted that neither his publications nor all Lutheran preachers had made the slightest dent in the ignorance, irrelevance, and alienation of the masses. Luther complained, quote, "The common man knows absolutely nothing about Christian doctrine, and indeed many pastors are in effect unfit and incompetent to teach. They are all called Christians, yet even they cannot either cite the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, or the Commandments. They live just like animals," unquote. Tomorrow we'll conclude by looking at the cause of the scientific revolution. The scientific revolution refers to the period from Copernicus to Newton, where the rate of scientific advancement supposedly increased dramatically. However, modern historians report no such revolution occurred, but rather a continuation of progress begun during the so-called Dark Ages. Many of us remember being taught three aspects of this so-called revolution: that key scientific contributors freed themselves from the rigid dogmas of faith, that freedom from the dead hand of the Catholic Church made real science possible, and that real science could not occur in universities controlled by the churches. Of the 52 most prominent contributors to science during this period, only one was a skeptic, and at least 60% of them were devout believers. And the rest were at least conventionally religious. So the idea that scientific advancement was the result of freeing themselves from belief is far from the truth. Of these leaders, 26 were Protestant and 26 were Catholic. This equal distribution belies the common wisdom that the Protestant Revolution allowed real science to take root. Prior advances in scientific thought had prepared these individuals regardless of whether they were Protestant or Catholic. Both faiths believed in God as the intelligent designer of a rational universe that could be understood through the application of the scientific method. Most historians agree that the universities of Europe were not the foci of scientific activity. In reality, 92% of these leaders spent 10 years or more in the universities. Nearly half served as university professors during their careers. In fact, a distinguished historian of science stated, "The medieval university laid a far greater emphasis on science than does its modern counterpart." As mathematician Johannes Kepler stated, "The chief aim of all investigations of the external world should be to discover the rational order and harmony imposed on it by God, revealed to us in the language of mathematics." Thus, the so-called scientific revolution occurred not in spite of Christianity, but rather directly because a Christian worldview beckoned them to study the nature of our world. In conclusion, we can see that contrary to common wisdom, the scientific and societal advances we enjoy are not the result of enlightened people taking off their religious blinders. Rather, it was the unique worldview of Christianity that created societies in which new ideas could flourish. Understanding the worldview that fueled the advances enjoyed by our modern world is important if we are to move ahead responsibly.